Henry Lund was a man who took over from Dr. Cusack, and he wasn't. He just seemed to get everybody's backs up.
That's not quite true, and it's to a huge degree unfair. Bert Cusack had managed the pulp and paper mills through a period when tariff barriers protected the industry. To put it very simply, in Dr. Cusack's time, as was often explained, you could import a ton of paper from Canada into Clondalkin at £60 a ton cheaper than we could make it. The tariff barriers ensured that there was no competition. I'm not sure, has this been explained to you?
Oh, it was, yes.
The tariff barriers were imposed on anybody seeking to import paper into the country. And it had to go to the organisation of Irish paper mills, Paper Mills Association. I represented Clondalkin on that. And if you wanted, or your neighbour wanted to bring an ounce of paper in, the application had to go to the committee of the paper mills, who said, no, we can make that. And the tariff of 50% or 100% was slapped on it, government duty, which blocked any competition. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, quality was never an issue, because you could just shovel out any bit of muck, because there was good quality paper wasn't allowed in to compete with you. And at a point when Henry took over, the mill was in a very bad shape. I'm losing heavily to competition, highly inefficient, and very bad quality. That's what Henry Lund inherited. And he put Brian Malloy in as managing director. I worked with Brian as a fellow director. They were honest, decent, forthright people whose philosophy and whose recipe to pull the mills around was not welcome by certain sections of the workforce. And a very small section of the workforce had dug the heels in and refused to move at all.
We're going forward a little bit too fast. When Dr. Cusack decided to retire, was that because of pressure, or was it because of he became of age, where retirement age?
Well, it was a bit of both. He'd a long history, and he was in his twilight years, so to speak. But in addition to that, the mills were the two pulp and paper mills were losing money hand over fist,
losing. Yes.
And were effectively the leakage of resources and funds was threatening the group. There was over 2,000 employed in the group.
When was the group formed? At what stage?
Well, the group would have grown from 1970-ish, the early years of 1970, when Bert Cusack went on a sort of an acquisition trail. He bought Bailey Gibson's in Dolphin's Barn. He bought Sagart Paper Mill, CB Packaging, Cahill's of East Wall Road, and others.
But they were all complementary to what was happening in Dundalkin.
In some cases, they all weren't. Some of them were worthwhile, others weren't. But there was over 2,000 employed, and the mills were dragging the whole group down, and it just couldn't have lasted. The whole group would have collapsed.
But did he not see an opportunity that by buying up these other companies, that they were a bigger force to deal with, and therefore they would be able to produce more and probably survive in the market? Because Clondalkin Group did continue on. I mean, it did survive.
Oh, there's no question about that, but in its own right. But I mean, it didn't have this disaster of an operation pulling down its profits and wasting them, so to speak.
And so you know, when it came to the, I suppose, the very difficult times in the 1980s, the beginning of the 80s, did you see the writing on the wall before you actually, before you were moved by Henry London to your new post outside of the mills?
Oh, I was press ganged. I didn't quite dwell. I better.
Yeah, do describe what you mean by that.
I had a number. I had a number of options. One was to stay with the Clondalkin Group, and as an adjunct to that, to go to Cork to Guy and Company, which is another subsidiary, and to take over down there as general manager. The FUE offered me a regional secretary's job in Limerick.
FUE is
Federated. They're IBEC now.
Oh yes, yes.
IBEC now. So I had a number of options.
And coming from Cork, it would have been nice to go back down to Cork, wouldn't it?
I thought so. My wife didn't, but I had a number of options, and Henry had an acquisition trail in mind in the States, and I was being considered for that.
And what kind of acquisition?
To buy printing companies, you know, mainly printing companies.
And was the money there to do that?
Well, I mean, the money wasn't astronomical, you know, because these were struggling companies that our management team could have pulled around in 5 minutes in the States. We didn't have the Irish culture over there, you know. But in any event, I had these options. And one day I was sent for to group headquarters where Henry and Brian Malloy were waiting for me to tell me that the government had been onto them and they wanted to borrow me for a year to go to Killala to pull around the Japanese operations. This was a highly sensitive political issue.
What were they producing down there? Killala?
Acrylic fibre, the fibre that makes these
jumpers
yeah. and cardigans. So,
Why was it a contentious issue with government?
But the Japanese were pulling out. They lost 44 million in 4 years. They were going home.
Okay.
They had it. It was another Clondalkin, only worse, only 10 times worse. And with my experience, the FUE recommended to the government that I be put in to try and sort it out.
Yeah.
Everybody knew about Asahi at the time. It was a walking disaster.
So,
and I had never been to Mayo in my life.
Yeah.
So I sort of very politely declined the offer. And Henry said, well, you know, that his future and the future of the mills and the group companies would depend on the generosity of the government and the IDA, and my refusing to go up wouldn't do that cause any good.
Okay.
But I go for a year?
Yeah.
That's how I got up there. I didn't.
See. But before you left and you were still in Clondalkin Paper Mills, you, the management, you were deciding redundancies for the workers at that time. And there was quite a stock of paper there. That I think that you asked to get rid of that paper before redundancies would be paid. Was there some issue there?
There could very well have been.
I can't remember that detail.
I have some recollection that there was some issue with regard to paper stocks.
There was quite a stock of paper still there.
But you see, Morris, the closure was affected by a liquidator, Bernard Summers. There was a members' voluntary liquidation. Management had no function in it at all. He took over the remaining assets.
Okay.
So it would have been in the liquidator's hands, Bernard Summers.
I see. And so it was his responsibility to,
yeah,
to dismantle.
Once we signed off as a board of directors on a members' voluntary liquidation, that's a liquidation where assets exceed liabilities, which they did, is now in the hands of the liquidator, and under law, under High Court direction, management no longer have a function.
And so you wiped your hands clean of it, literally walked
away.
We had away
to, because there was an action committee sitting in the boardroom for months, supposed to be coming up with different plans and resolutions and proposals.
Were they heated meetings at that time? You know,
there was a lot.
Were you trying to save the place at any stage? Or was
up to this we were. And I have copies of the restructuring, the rationalisation programme that was put forward. And we could get no agreement whatsoever. One of our directors, the production director, Bill Scott, had worked in paper mills all over the world, in South America, in England, everywhere.
Yeah.
And he'd come up with a rationalisation programme based on his own keen experience, which would have worked and turned the paper mill around. But no, we couldn't get agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And these people were sitting in the boardroom, this action committee, supposedly preparing proposals to break the impasse. But they simply didn't want to talk about any change.